Welcome to the podcast, My Wave, My Story, My Life. Super excited to have Jacob Vendetti here today with us, and I cannot wait to hear his My Wave story. But before we get into meeting him and talking about his wave, I want to give a thanks to Billy here at Thorpe Creative. Does a great job behind the scenes, getting things set up and going, and you can follow him on Instagram at Thorpe Creative. Also, though, if you have been watching or listening for a while and you like what you hear, we'd love for you to be able to support us. Very simple. Go to buymeacoffee.com. You like coffee, Jacob?
Love coffee.
Yeah. So buymeacoffee.com/mywave. And you can buy me a coffee. You can buy me multiple coffees and help support the show. But today's sponsor is Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is played like dodgeball, but with arrows. And that's a lot of fun. It was over, did Will's son's birthday party. Did you go to that and play archery tag?
I wasn't there.
Oh, man, you missed it.
It was fun.
Yeah, but archery tags, play like dodgeball, but with arrows. You can check them out at sullysarcherytag.com. They're a mobile event. They bring the fun to you. So here we go. Jacob, so nice to meet you. I guess the second time. I met you the first time. I was I went into 17th Street where you work and talked to Will about coming on the show, and he was booked up, but he was like, talk to that guy. And so we met, exchanged numbers, and was able to find a date. Now, the one thing about trying to find this date was you were traveling. I think you were going to like California.
Yeah, I was. I was headed out to L.A. to find a production team to finish my documentary.
Oh yeah, like I said, I don't know you, and so all this is fresh and new. What's this documentary?
It's a documentary to show how surfing has impacted my life in such a positive way. We've been working on it for 7 years.
Really?
Traveling to Hawaii, Mexico, Barbados.
Wow.
All over chasing swells.
Yeah.
And pushing the limits in the ocean.
That's incredible. You're from Wilmington, right?
Correct.
Surfing Rice Beach, Carolina Beach, but you're traveling and doing a documentary. How did all this come about?
Just the love for surfing, being able to, go find the perfect wave.
Wow. How do you fund this?
Out of pocket. We've had a couple GoFundMes that have been very successful and helped us get a jet ski in Mexico.
Really?
To, get into even bigger waves and...
Huh. So you're in big waves.
Yeah, I like to push my limits as much as I can.
Really? So where have you been? I mean, you mentioned Hawaii, Mexico.
I've been really fortunate. I've been to Hawaii a handful of times, Mexico probably 8 times, Barbados, the Philippines.
Really?
Indonesia. More places I probably just can't even think of.
That's amazing. Now, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay, 27, but man, you've been able to travel the world all around surfing.
Yep.
Wow. That's
my passion.
That's pretty. Sure. So just jumping in, because I'd love to hear more of this story, but where is had the opportunity to travel all over the place? Where's the one wave that you want to talk about?
That wave is in mainland Mexico.
Mainland Mexico.
Yep.
What's the name of the spot?
I can't disclose that information.
Oh, serious? Okay.
It's a really nice beach break right in the center of mainland Mexico on the Pacific side.
Wow. Wow. So this is a true secret spot.
Well, yeah, that's just what all the locals have always asked. Never exploit the spot too much. So
there you go.
Just want to be respectful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just taking notes here real quick. But that's cool. So, mainland Mexico, a secret spot. What was the conditions like for this wave?
Oh man, I had worked myself up to get in to be able to surf this wave all summer. I had been in Mexico a month and a half.
Uh huh.
Just waiting, surfing all sorts of different swells, and the perfect day came.
Really?
12 to 15 feet.
Uh huh.
by the back of the wave. And
so by the back of the wave. Now explain that. Part of this podcast is I want to teach people different things about surfing, and there's different ways of measuring waves. So you said from the back of the wave. Could you explain the difference between measuring from the back and measuring from the front? What does that mean?
I guess that's just usually how Hawaiians measure the waves, because the waves get so large in Hawaii. And it just, it's about half of the face of the wave.
Okay. So the measuring from the back is usually half of the face.
Yep.
So if you say it's, what'd you say, a 12 to 15 foot from the back.
Yeah.
So you double that. That's a 24 to 30 foot face.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's a big wave.
It was a really awesome day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I look back on it sometimes like, where did I get the courage to do that?
Back it all up. So you're into this big wave surfing, but you're from this area. We don't get that.
Yeah.
So how did you get into big wave surfing?
All my buddies that I grew up with around here, you'd be surprised how many Chargers grew up here.
Yeah?
Rob Brown, Mark Yonkers, my best friends, Evan Barton and Dylan Kowalski and Max Smith and many others.
Yeah.
Connor Lester.
Oh, wow.
Corn Dog.
Yeah. So these guys are from around here.
Yeah.
And you grew up surfing with them?
Mason Barnes, too.
What, he just did a big wave.
Yeah, I think he got one of the biggest ever at Nazaré in Portugal.
Yes. Yes. I remember hearing that was just recent, wasn't it?
It was, I think, a few months ago.
Right, right. So we'd have to do some research, but I can't remember how big that wave was, but it was massive.
Yeah, I think UNCW actually did a project, and they did some equation, and it found that it was like 96 feet.
Good night.
Something like that.
Good job, Mason. Right.
Crazy.
That's big wave.
Yeah, man. It's really inspiring to see that type of stuff.
Yeah. Now, I personally have no desire to surf big waves.
Yeah.
I never have. Even
that's all right, man.
Yeah. And I think that's everybody's different, but it takes a special mindset. So you said you've been waiting, then you even said, "Man, how did I find the courage to get out on that day?" Yeah. What was it like?
It was incredible, man. At that point in my life, I was on the lung transplant list. I didn't know, you know, where the next 5 years was going to take me. And
you said lung transplant?
Yep, because I was born with cystic fibrosis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I didn't see where the next, 5 to 10 years was going to take me. And I really wanted to, make an impact before I might maybe leave this world.
Right.
And so I thought through, chasing my dreams of surfing and stepping off on big waves might inspire other people with CF or just other people to live more positive and courageous lives.
Yeah. When did you start surfing?
When I was 10 or 11 years old.
Okay. But diagnosed with CF early?
Yeah, at birth.
At birth. All right. And so lots of treatments, lots of...
Oh, man, so many treatments, so much therapy, so much time in the hospital,
yeah,
et cetera.
Man.
But not anymore, thankfully.
Really?
Like, I was on that list and everything, and a year and a half ago, a new medication was approved by the FDA called Trikafta, and it's been a breakthrough medication.
Really?
In the entire CF world.
Really?
It works for 90% of people with CF, and...
That is awesome.
Don't do the hours of intensive therapy anymore. I take two pills in the morning and one at night, and I've gained like 30 pounds. My lung function's gone up tremendously. My energy, everything's just gotten so much easier.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome, the research that goes in? And man, to be able to benefit like that, that's a blessing.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It just brings me back to earth sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes me so thankful for all the little things.
Absolutely. Man, so cystic fibrosis affects the lungs. I read an article that surfing... that above the salt water is a mist and that is a benefit.
A natural therapy. Yeah, it's funny, man. When I did my nebulizer treatments, 2 or 3 times a day for 30 minutes at a time, one of them was 10% hypertonic saline, that's inhaling a dense salt air for 30 minutes. So, like, I'd rather be in the ocean. Surfing.
Right.
It's not as quite dense salt air you're inhaling, but you're being active at the same time as
right
getting a therapy in.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. That's always what led me to stick to surfing,
uh-huh.
make the documentary about surfing.
So is that documentary complete?
We have so much footage, man. And when I was in LA, I met up with a production team.
Okay.
And so I've got to get $9,000 together.
$9,000.
To get it finished.
Nice. But so
we're going to make it happen.
Yeah. What are you doing to generate the funds for that?
I'm running events, CF fundraisers. I'm a part of music festivals and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, selling artwork and t-shirts and
yeah.
doing whatever we can.
Fantastic. Anything that you could put out on this podcast, you know, websites or different things, go for it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
If I could. Yeah. We have an Instagram, Live Fearlessly Foundation.
Live Fearlessly.
Yeah, I do everything through that in my own personal email right now.
Okay.
I'm still in the process of getting a website developed.
All right. So Live Fearlessly Foundation is that Instagram.
Yep.
Website's coming.
Yeah.
But then as far as if people listening to this wanted to help you out to finish this documentary, how could they do that?
They could
DM you, most likely?
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, hopefully you're out there listening and you're inspired by Jacob's story and want to contribute to this. I'm excited to hear more about this and to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too. It's really doing this documentary has made me comfortable with having CF. Like,
okay.
It's always been kind of a weird thing
because yeah.
I'm not so much different than everybody else, but you know, I see the greater purpose of putting this out, you know, for
right.
everybody to see. I think it can make a good impact or a great impact.
Yeah. Now in your travels and in your filming and in discussion with other surfers about CF, have you met other surfers who have a similar situation?
I have met several other surfers with CF.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be cocky or anything, but no one to ever surf waves the same waves that I surf, but I've met some great surfers that have CF.
Yeah, yeah. No, it takes, go back to the phrase I used, a mindset.
Yeah.
There's a cockiness that we meet in people, right? We see it. We sense
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've seen it too.
But then there's a confidence. And there's a fine line between cockiness and confidence.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to have a confident mindset when you're paddling. There's still that fear.
No doubt, man. If I would have fell on that wave, I don't think I would have made it.
Yeah.
I was that ill at that point. I was like 120 pounds and, you know, it was hard for me to just walk around,
yeah.
let alone surf. I just, you know, really believed in what I was doing.
Yeah, so let's go back to that mainland Mexico break. Big swell. You've been chasing it, waiting for it. It shows up. Did you know the day before, or did you walk out that morning and go, oh, this is it?
Luckily, I was able to step off the day before as well. And the day before was still massive.
Mm-hmm.
But that helped me gain some more confidence.
What do you mean by step off?
So that's when you take a jet ski out
mm-hmm.
To the lineup, and you sit on the back of the ski, and the driver drives towards the wave, and you jump off the jet ski with your board and stand up on the wave.
Okay, so you're eliminating the paddle and the paddle yeah. power necessary.
Yeah, that's what made me able to do it because, you know, I was so ill at that point, I didn't have the strength. But
yeah, yeah. So those step-offs, how many of those did you do the day before?
10 or 15.
Okay.
I got so many great waves, you know, making it through two sections of the barrel.
Crazy.
Spit out, everything.
Crazy.
Yeah, but then the next day, man, my first wave that day was, I was like, I just wanted to go straight into it. I was Brian Connolly. He was the guy that was driving the jet ski.
Okay.
He used to surf on the CT. He's invented the camera and the barrel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a legend and a great at driving the jet ski. But I was like, man, put me on a set wave.
Uh-huh.
First wave, I got this. I can't just keep thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I pulled in, dude, and I didn't make it. My board smacked me in the shoulder. My arm went numb, and I couldn't hardly swim. Luckily, I had my flotation vest on. I just floated there. I was like, oh no, did I just blow it my first wave?
Oh man.
On the best day. And I just kind of waited for a second. I went back out and got a few more, made the next barrel. It was a great one. Got another one. It was another great one. And then the fourth one was that wave. I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So this sounds like a pretty intense session. How many other people were out in the water?
There was, you know, just a couple.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, a couple people paddling, which was so gnarly.
Right.
And then one other person on the jet ski.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Yeah. People you knew? People you didn't?
Yeah, I had known, just because I had been down there for so long, spent so much time.
Yeah. What is the surf scene like in Mexico, like among the locals?
Where the beach I'm talking about, everybody's so friendly and just, it's good vibes, but there's not many people down there. There's only a handful of guys.
Right.
That know how to get there and everything.
Okay, but they do surf it?
They do, yeah. Okay. And then there's some locals like Marcos Hoopman, he's from there, and Al Cleland, he was just on the Stab High trip to Indonesia. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's very close to being on the CT.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so that's his home break, too.
Is it? So that's who was out with you that day?
They weren't out that day. They're younger than me, so.
Oh, really?
They would probably be out on a day like that, but when
this was taking place. How old were you when this wave took place?
This was 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Crazy.
Now, they would be definitely out there now, but then they were kind of watching from the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So this wave, you had another toe in or step off?
Step off. Yeah.
Okay. So the wave that we're getting ready to slow down and to talk through was a step off.
Yep.
Sick. You mentioned that wipeout.
Yeah, that one was
the first one.
It's really scary.
Yeah. Walk us through the wipeout. Was this your heaviest wipeout ever, or have you had others?
The day before, I went unconscious underwater.
Because of the hold down?
The beach, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know, it was heavy. And then this one, like, I kind of got hurt, but I got lucky that I didn't get held under. I popped through the back of the wave.
Okay.
I just, you know, dropped in, and I saw the section, and you know, ran as fast down the face of the wave as I possibly could. And yeah, it closed out on me and I couldn't do anything besides jump off. You don't wear a leash because you're going so fast.
Okay.
And I jumped off and the board just came right back at me.
Oh man.
Smacked me right in the shoulder. It was awful.
But you were able to pop through the back.
I popped through the back and I was thankful for that. And
right.
And back out.
Ski was nearby.
Yep. Got me.
Oh, good. That's good. What's the longest hold down you've had?
I'm not sure, man. Definitely the one the day before is my worst because I've never blacked out or it just knocked the wind out of me and then I don't even remember like getting to the beach really.
Yeah. Wow.
I was seeing stars and stuff.
That's crazy. But it's important to have a good crew around you.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, that trip I was by myself. So Connolly was my crew.
Oh no.
And there's only so much you can do from the jet ski, but I was fortunate I made it.
Yeah. So no film crew on this one?
No. His wife got a couple of the shots on a camera, and then the other guy on the jet ski, he's a legendary photographer. His Instagram's Sacrificial Lamb.
Okay.
Gets some of the best in-water shots of all time, and he was driving the jet ski with one hand and shooting with the in-water camera with the other hand, and he got the photo.
Did he? Of you?
Yeah.
Is that on his Instagram?
Yeah, and it's on my Instagram. That's my main wave.
Oh, wow.
That one.
What's your Instagram so people can check this out?
It's Jacob_Venditti.
Okay.
Venditti.
Cool. Jacob_Venditti is your Instagram, and that shot's on there from a few years back?
Yep.
Sick. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, I can't believe he got the shot. Like, I didn't even know he got the shot until 2 weeks later. Because he had just gone through so much stuff, and then he got my contact information and sent it to me randomly.
That's awesome.
We didn't really know each other.
Wow. Wow. All right, so this wave, this most memorable wave, bring it on.
Yeah, it was intense, man. I've never felt so happy in my life, honestly, when I came off the back of that wave. I really didn't even know how big it was. I just knew it was, like, probably the biggest wave I've ever been on.
Wow.
And
wow.
I knew there was a lot of consequence on it.
Yeah. Yep.
So when I stepped off, I made it to the bottom of the wave, and I just kind of stood at the bottom of the wave and put one arm in the air and just rode it out from there.
So it was just, that's all, it dropped in, turned into the section, and it pitched over you.
Yep, just stand straight up and put one arm in the air.
No way.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And had plenty of room.
That wave, you know, helped me get through all that time in the hospital and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the photo, just the memory in my mind, it gave me courage to keep living.
Yeah.
Because I want to do that again.
Right.
And that's, you know, I'm finally getting to that point again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how long do you think you were in the barrel of this wave?
Dude, I wasn't even really in the barrel of that wave. It was kind of like I was in the pocket. I was sort of in the barrel, but
right.
It was just so massive. I had made a few others that day through, like, really deep barrels. Those photos are on my Instagram, too. That one was just, like, I don't know. I liked it more, and I was just, like, a pleasure ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What did it do for you?
Yeah, like I said, it's helped me stay alive.
Yeah.
And gave me something to look forward to do again.
Huh. You bring a different perspective to surfing.
You think so?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I go out. I'm not charging big waves. You know, I'm still, I enjoy the opportunity to get out and to push myself. But, you know, to be able to have a perspective of every wave as special.
Yeah, dude, I like how you said that a lot, because my mindset, even when I go out at C Street these days, because I still, you know, I cough a lot, and it's hard for me to breathe and stuff. I go out thinking I just want to get my one, my one good wave of the day, and
yeah.
I'm not out there to catch 100 waves. And
right.
I'm just really patient, just go out there, wait, and cross my fingers it's a good one, because I'm going to be out of energy after it.
Right, right.
But, yeah. It's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, you know, to be able to have that, I don't know how to put it into words, that special, it's like precious.
Yeah.
That gift to be able to paddle out and to enjoy a piece of God's creation and to accept it and to harness it and to enjoy it and then to kick out.
Yeah.
You know.
It makes life better. Every time I just am able to spend some time in the ocean.
Yeah.
Especially with my surfboard, my day is like doesn't get much better than that.
Right. What are you riding these days?
I've twin fin a lot. I just bought a board from Tony Butler, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
One of his used ones?
Yeah, it was a great board, man. He hooked me up, and the thing's pretty much brand new.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while, and then man, 2 weeks ago I was paddling out early in the morning, and he was coming in from the session. He was like, "Get on it, man."
Yeah, he's always the first one in the lineup.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Oh, that's cool. So what is that board?
It's a 5.5. It's called a 5.5 no-brainer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who makes it?
I think it's a Slater model. It looks like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that
Termo
very...
or okay. Something like that.
Yeah, 5.5 no-brainer. What do you ride on those bigger days?
If I'm stepping off, I ride a step-off board, which is like a... like a 5.5 or something, but it's glassed heavier in the middle.
Okay.
You want that extra weight so you're not hopping all. You're going so fast, you don't want to be hopping up and down the face.
You're strapped in?
No.
No?
You just want the board to sit in the wave and be heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a really heavy 5.5.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What do you, when you paddle into big stuff?
I got a whole quiver. I got, you know, 6.1. 6.3, a 6.6, a 6.8, a 7.2.
Now you don't travel with all those,
two,
do you?
8.6. Sometimes I travel with a lot of them, man. You know, I'd rather be prepared on the best day than unprepared.
Right.
My life means more than the money that I make.
There you go. You know? There you go. What do you have any sponsors?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Some local surf shops hook me up and stuff. And
yeah.
Like South End and Sweetwater, everybody, you know, it's just good. We live in a great community.
We do.
Where everybody wants to help each other out.
Yeah, that is true. And and the more that I meet people, this is a huge surf community.
Yeah.
And there's some really amazing people that are part of it.
Yeah.
And you're one of them, man. I've really appreciated, you know, this conversation. Talk to me about Live Fearlessly Foundation. What's that about?
So Live Fearlessly was made in hopes to, you know, spread awareness for cystic fibrosis, mm-hmm. and also raise money to, you know, impact people with CF.
Yeah.
Like, so I know, like, at the point I'm at right now, I'm not going to raise money like the CF Foundation does and be able to contribute towards science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh. I really hope you caught that.
No, go for it, man.
I've seeked out other people with cystic fibrosis that are surfers, and I'm going to sponsor them and send them on surf trips and maybe pay their rent, help them out with anything I can do.
Yeah, through this foundation.
Through this foundation.
Yeah.
And so we've been running events, saving up money, doing what we can do. And also we want to get the documentary finished, so yeah. That's one of our goals.
Okay. And if you're listening and you would like to contribute, check him out at Jacob Vendetti on Instagram, and Jacob underscore Vendetti, and DM him if you'd like to contribute. But then you're working on that website, and yeah. You had mentioned a couple of events that are coming up.
Yeah, dude, we've been doing a lot lately. Our next event will be July 31st at Burnt Mill Creek.
Okay.
Modest Yahoo is going to be playing, and I'm going to have a Live Fearlessly tent with a bunch of artwork my sister and I both did. My sister's going to do a speech on stage about cystic fibrosis.
Yeah. Does she have cystic fibrosis as well?
She does.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And does she surf?
She does.
Yes.
She's become a great surfer.
Yeah?
Too.
Very cool.
She lived in the Philippines for 4 years on an island called Siargao, and her wave in front of her house was called Cloud Nine.
No way.
Yes, pretty incredible. Yes,
she's spending every day out on Cloud Nine. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Oh man, she live local as well, or
she
still out? She's still here.
Yeah, she's back in the UNCW.
Okay,
so she'll be going there.
Nice, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. Where do you find yourself in the future?
On more waves like that. That's what I'm, you know, I enjoy doing the most.
Yeah.
I also really want to, you know, help impact the cystic fibrosis world.
There you go.
You know, like I said, Trikafta, the medication I got on, that has been a miracle for me, works for 90% of people with cystic fibrosis.
Good, good.
It's great, but there's still 10% in the shoes I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that hurts to think about.
Right.
Because it's a really, really tough thing to live with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Jacob. Thank you for sharing that and for including us in on this conversation, you know, with Live Fearlessly Foundation and what you're going through and sharing it with us some of these things that have been taking place to help folks with cystic fibrosis.
No doubt, man. I really appreciate you guys having me today.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to spread some more awareness, right?
That's right. You got any more trips that you're going to hunt down some waves?
Right now, I'm focused on establishing this foundation.
Okay, cool.
But I'll get back to it soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Can only go so long without a surf trip.
That's right. That's right. How many do you do a year?
Since COVID, I haven't been on a surf trip in over a year.
Okay.
Usually I do Mexico in the summer and the North Shore of Hawaii in the winter.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yep. Who have you surfed with at North Shore?
Oh, man, I've been really fortunate out there. I used to work with the Mauiola Foundation.
Okay.
And so when I went to Hawaii, I would stay at, like, Kalal Alexander's house and have a good buddy, Fisher Heverly.
Uh-huh.
I stay with him a bunch, and Dylan Kowalski has a house out there. And yeah, I'd paddle out to Pipe with like Claw and Sonny Garcia, and just they'd call me into sets.
Were they?
Yeah. So I got really lucky, dude. I didn't have to fight all day for waves.
Yeah.
Because you really have to earn them out there.
Yeah. And for one of them to say, hey, this is yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty sick. Wow. Well, you know, you have inspired me, and I appreciate that.
Right on.
And I think those listening will be encouraged and challenged as well. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share before we wrap it up?
Shout out to 17th Street.
Yeah?
For hooking me up with a job. That's really
nice.
Helped me get back on track with my life.
Good. Good deal.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah. Was a good guy.
No doubt.
I'd love, like I say, I try to get him on the show, and maybe we'll get him on the show in the future.
Yeah, he'd be great. He's got a lot of stories.
Yeah, he does. He does. He is a good storyteller. Well, cool, man. Hey, we always wrap this up with, it's kind of quirky, but it's kind of fun to talk about. What's your, as you've got involved with surfing, you know, at least 17 years, what is in your research, surfing's origin? Where did it begin?
It began at Carolina Beach.
We're around here.
My mom and my stepdad would take me to the beach, and they'd, you know, pull the car up on the beach, and we'd have a cooler, and we'd just try to surf all day.
Yeah, well, not your beginnings.
Oh.
In all history. When's the earliest recording of surfing?
It's Duke Kamehameha, right?
Right.
Duke.
The Duke in Hawaii.
I have his photo in my house.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was like 1940 or...
I was before that. Yeah.
Maybe 1900?
Like, I think so. Yeah. Some of those early explorers were talking about these people riding...
He was the president of Hawaii too, right?
Yeah. Something like that. I don't have a good history. Maybe I need to get into it. But actually, there's a book written by a local guy, Skipper Funderburg. Have you read it? It's Surfing in Origin here in North Carolina and East Coast.
Oh, man, I'd love to read that book.
Yeah, it's really cool. Lots of pictures, a lot of research. And rumor has it, based on his book, that surfing on the East Coast started here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. In fact, there's a monument, those street markers at Wrightsville Beach that talk about it.
Huh.
Yeah, it's right heading down towards South End. It's on the right.
Interesting.
Yeah, you have to look for it next time you drive down there.
I gotta check that out for sure.
Yeah, but there's a passage in the Bible that it's kind of interesting. So this would have been first century A.D., the Apostle Paul was traveling to Rome by ship, and they came into some stormy seas. And there was, they couldn't make land. It was just rough. So they pitched everything, you know, to lighten the load, to get up higher, because they were getting closer to rocks and stuff. Well, they ended up running into a reef, and the waves beating on it and then smashing into the reef, the ship started breaking apart. So everybody said, if you can swim, swim to shore. There was a beach nearby. And then the ship broke up, and it said that everybody made it safely, so they all survived. It said some on pieces of the ship. And then the other part of that verse says some on boards.
No way.
Yeah. So
they used pieces of the ship to get to shore?
Yeah.
That's sick.
So I'm wondering, though, if some of those guys were like, hey, that was kind of fun. Yeah. You see how far I rode that?
That's so interesting.
Let's try that again.
That's really rad, man.
I think it's a stretch.
Yeah.
I don't think they were surfing, but it is interesting.
It doesn't seem that far-fetched to me, though. Like, if a ship was coming down, I would probably do the same thing. Like, instead of treading water, have something to float on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And then maybe catch one.
Then when you get into near the beach, ride it in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or they might have even accidentally got pushed in.
No, right, right. And then they're standing on the beach. Man, that was kind of fun. You want to go back out? Anyway, Jacob, thank you so much for sharing your life and sharing this wave story. And man, I appreciate it. And hopefully people listen to this be able to contact you and help you towards your goal, getting this documentary up and running, and help out others with cystic fibrosis.
Sweet, man. Yeah, I appreciate it too.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you. Y'all, take care. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode of My Wave.